I like to have an in-tempo conversation.
Yeah. Sometimes I talk off beat, but it's because I like jazz. Like to syncopate okay. in my conversation.
All right. 3, 2, 1. Wow.
We're so fucking in sync right now.
Oh my god. How was your week?
Good. I did have a good week. Like, it was rainy here sometimes. My plant sprouted a new leaf that's unfurling. I'm so excited for that.
That's cool.
Brazilian Steakhouse the other night, which was so good. And nice. What else? Chris and I watched Star Trek.
Nice.
Oh, they asked me tonight. They sent me a message that said, babe, can you help me make a spreadsheet? And I was aroused. That's
what
my favorite thing.
What more does a girl
want? Yeah. Yeah, I only want one thing, and it's someone to ask me to help them make a spreadsheet. It's disgusting. No, it was really good.
That's how I feel when David and I lay in bed next to each other and in parallel scroll Pinterest on our phones. So we're like trying to like design the space for our new house. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to get an idea of like what the feel of it is going to be. And so we have a collaborative Pinterest board where we're both putting ideas in. Because I feel like this will be a place where we'll most likely stay for a few years. And so I want it to be really nice.
I'm going to get a big 3D printer so I can send you a larger Kirby with feet.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I'm going to.
Don't do that.
It's the only reason I even want a 3D printer.
I would mail it back to you.
No, it's a gift, Rebecca.
That would be like in my family, my dad's extended family. So we would maybe see each other all together, like, 2 or 3 times a year when I was growing up. Like, we would have, like, Christmas together and then, like, maybe Easter. And then we would typically do, like, a long weekend camping together each summer somewhere, like, cheap on a lake. And
good thing
so
now you have
course,
a very expensive house on a lake.
We didn't have that growing up. We were very poor. Not very poor, but... Is there a person there?
Yeah, it was Jen. She was dropping off my scooter key because she used the scooter.
Holy shit. Jen listens to the podcast.
I know, she's going to hear when she came in.
She's going to be like, that was me.
Oh shit, I'm on the podcast.
Oh my God.
I do like when we mention our friends on here and then they message like the next day and they're like, you said my name on the podcast. Because I know that's the only time Alex is ever happy.
He's going to do it again. He's going to be like, I was on the podcast 4th week in a row.
I want to believe he's got a little calendar at home where he draws a little heart on every Sunday when he gets mentioned.
The first week he doesn't get mentioned, he's going to be like, dear diary, I really thought we had something going.
Yeah, I guess they really do hate me and it's not just jokes when they say that.
No, what story
So you're
was
going
I
to
telling?
Your rich,
oh, okay.
rich lake house on
no,
the lake.
No, no, no.
That's
no.
made of gold.
Growing up, my dad was in the army, and my mom mostly was like a stay-at-home mom and then eventually worked part-time. So we did not have money, so we would go in our camper and we would like camp. That was like our family vacation. Every summer, we would just camp. But our extended family would usually do like a weekend thing together every summer. And so all this is to say, we saw each other like 3 times a year, give or take. And, over the course of several years, there was a jar of, I think it was cherries, that somebody brought to somebody's house for some reason.
A lot of
and
unknowns
they got
here.
Left, they got left there. Say it's like Christmas, and they're like, oh, I brought cherries for the punch or whatever in a jar. They got left there, and then like at the next family thing, somebody brought them. And then the goal became you had to like hide them in that person's house. In a way that they would not find. And then if they did find it, then they had to bring it to the next family thing and hide it. And then this went on for like 7 years. And I don't remember how it ended. But That wasn't a great story.
Yeah.
But that's going to be us with the Kirby.
No, you're not. That was something I gave to you.
No, not a giant Kirby. I will not accept that as a gift. I'm gonna do exactly that. I'm going to bring it to your home and hide it someplace
you're not
that
invited
you would
to
never
my home.
Expect.
You're banned. You're banned from the okay. premises.
That's weird.
Whenever I make hot dogs, you can't know about it.
Wait, that's so specific.
I don't even make hot dogs. I hate them.
They're gross.
Yeah, I don't. I don't like them. I'm probably told you. I don't know if I mentioned it here, but when I worked at Home Depot, which I did for almost 4 years,
mom worked at Home Depot.
What did she do?
She did like customer service, I think.
I ran the service desk.
Oh my god!
We should have talked about that when she was here. We'll have to
have
her on again.
She would work nights.
I think actually you have told me that.
Shift.
I bet she knows my ex's mom. My ex Kate was her mom was like a manager at Home Depot on the west side of the state, so probably
in county.
This was
the Granville, Michigan Home Depot.
Mm-hmm. I know the very one.
It's a good one.
I might.
It's right by a Best Buy and a Marshall's.
Actually, I think
as all Home Depots are.
Because is it near Kalamazoo?
No,
it's further north.
Mm-hmm. It's like 45 minutes north.
At any rate, so when I worked there, I would just smell the hot dogs all the time. And I don't like hot dogs, and I've never liked hot dogs, and I know that. But sometimes I'd be like, ooh, maybe I do like hot dogs. That's smelling really good today. And then I'd get one and want to die because I don't like hot dogs. So
that is us every time we go to a Costco. But
what do you get there? Costco hot dogs are good.
They have a deal that's like a dollar, and it gets you a really big hot dog with like onions and relish and mustard and whatever, and then a large drink, and it's like a dollar, and it's one of those things that they know that they lose money on it, but like whatever,
you can't
you know?
Change
like
it
they
yeah.
make
that's your whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. Wasn't it like the CEO was like, I will literally fucking kill you if you try to change the price of the hot dog deal or something.
I will burn this company to the ground.
There was some quote from a C-level meeting where they were discussing like, we're losing a ton of money on this hot dog thing. Because they're, like, good. Like, they're, like, beef franks. They're not, like, shit hot dogs. They're good.
Where they shit in
the
tube
and then
they fried
up. I gotta look up the quote now.
Costco. I've never eaten at Costco, which I feel like people are surprised to hear. I've only been to Costco, I think, twice. And at least one of those was with you. No, three times.
Yeah.
Once to get a cake when I worked at Home Depot. Once to get when we were trying to buy you a TV or something. And then again, like a little over a year ago, I went with my roommates that I was living with when I moved here, and I bought shampoo and toothpaste, and I still have all of that shampoo and toothpaste. It's a giant thing of Kirkland brand shampoo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's any good, but I've been using it for so long now.
In my hometown growing up, for whatever reason, the high school was right next to the Costco. And seniors got to go out for lunch, but our lunch was only like half an hour. So there was just so many options. Like there was like a strip mall, maybe it was like 40 minutes. It was not long. There was like a strip mall and then there was a Costco. And so most of the seniors go to Costco because you don't need a membership to go into the cafeteria area. You can just walk in and say, I'm going in the cafeteria. So you can get a hot dog.
I'm going to masturbate in your bathroom. I don't need a membership for that. It's on the wall.
You could get, like, a hot dog and, like, a berry smoothie and, like, a churro for, like, $5. It was so good. I found the quote. The Costco co-founder to the new CEO said, if you raise the fucking hot dog, I will kill you.
And he's like, I want
that
on record.
That's the kind of leadership that I want.
I want that reported to the stockholders.
Write that down.
Yeah.
Write that down. Ooh, yeah, he said that in the earnings call.
And everyone was like,
that in the earnings call, CEO is like, yeah, we might, we're going to be raising the price of the hot dog by 15% to increase our margins. And he just like unmutes himself. Hi, Jim here. If you raise the fucking hot dog, I'll kill you.
I'm not kidding.
Just like that. Their stock tanks.
People are like on there laughing. They're like, haha. And he's like, don't fuck. I'm serious.
I will fucking drive to your house, cut your throat, and then stuff your eye sockets with hot dogs. Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to pay extra for them. I'll tell you that.
It's going to be a dollar. Fuck you.
He's like, thanks. Thanks for your time. All right. Have a good weekend, everybody.
It's like in like Senate proceedings. You know, someone's about to you know, say something really fucking awful when they, like, interrupt the guest that's testifying. They're like, reclaiming my time. I need to start doing that in meetings and someone starts talking over me and just be like, reclaiming my time.
Yeah, just to circle back on my time that I'm taking back from you. Did you see the tweet that I shared yesterday that was like, when someone mansplains or repeats the point that you've made, they're like, hey, thanks. You say to them, thanks for restating what I already shared. I'm glad your understanding of it is very complete.
And that's good.
Yeah, I
really like a professional
that.
Fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's my favorite kind of fuck you. Like, if you're going to do it, at least be professional about it.
That's, we have, you know, those New Yorker comic things that, like, they have the caption contests
no,
for
I've
them.
No, I've never
and
seen
then...
those.
I can't, I can never tell. Well, anyway, I got some promo thing from the New Yorker because they wanted to get me to subscribe. And I might, just because if you subscribe, you get a tote bag. And I love a tote bag.
You're a white lady, so.
Obviously. So there was one that had a dad talking to his son in, like, a playground or whatever. And the caption was, remember, son, if you can't say something nice, say something clever yet devastating.
Oh, yeah. That's my whole, that's who I am as a person.
Yeah. My other favorite one that we got, and that was a lady at a wine store surrounded by, like, thousands of bottles of wine. And she's like, I'm looking for one particular wine. I can't remember the name, but I did like the taste.
Okay.
Like, implying, like, I'm going to taste all of these to find one that
I want. I need some samples. People used to come into Borders and pull that shit. They'd be like, I heard about a book on NPR 13 years ago. It has a green cover, and it was either fiction or nonfiction.
You're like, okay, I heard about this thing called Go to Hell.
Let me take you over here to the bathroom where you can drown yourself.
I was, on Christmas Eve, I had forgotten that I was going to get books for my nephew. So I was going to go, like, I had gotten everybody else books from, like, the local bookstore, but of course the local bookstore was closed on Christmas Eve. This is all my way of justifying the fact that I went to the Amazon in-person bookstore.
Ooh,
which is a thing.
Gross.
It's a physical Amazon bookstore.
No, I don't like that.
It was really nice, of course, but I go in, and while I was there, I was like, oh, my brother's a new dad. I wanted to try to find the Mike Birbiglia book, the new one. So I ask.
Do you have the new one?
You can anticipate when it's going. So I, like, asked the guy, there was a guy at the front, like, can I help you find anything? And I was like, I'm looking for the new one by Mike Birbiglia. And he was like, okay, what's it called? And I was like, the new one.
The new one. It's his new one, but it's called the new one.
Yeah, it was like a who's on first situation. It was really funny. Mm-hmm. We had a little laugh, you know, a sensible chuckle on Christmas Eve.
Oh, I love that. Love that for you. And for him having to work on Christmas Eve because you needed to go buy a book, idiot.
Okay.
I used to work on Christmas Day while I was at Borders because my boss and I would go in and do the ad set for the day after Christmas so that the rest of the employees didn't have to. And one time we were there and she was like, "We'll go. I'll buy you lunch for coming to help." We were actually friends too, so it was chill. But we went to Denny's and it was like 9 a.m. and I got a burger, fries, and a salad. And she was like, I don't understand you.
That's
but
weird.
I don't eat breakfast.
Yeah.
Sometimes I have French toast.
Although there are some days when I get up really early, if I don't eat a big breakfast, which I don't most days, then I'm like, I want lunch by like 10 a.m. And Jimmy John's doesn't open until 11. So I will often order it. For pickup at 11. Like, it'll get delivered at 11:01 because we live very close to a Jimmy John's. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize how close we lived to one, so I had always just ordered for delivery because delivery's $1 plus tip. And then I was going for a walk one day and realized it's less than 2 blocks away. It's like, I can't imagine.
Even I
what
don't
these drivers.
That. Come on.
These drivers are thinking, like, going to deliver this.
They,
like,
I can't imagine
bitch.
They drive for that. They must ride a bike or walk.
Ride
over.
A bike, yeah.
When I was in college, we used to, I didn't live there, but my bass player lived across the street from a Domino's, and we were always at his place playing video games. And he would always order delivery, and we were like, please, I know we're drunk. We'll just walk over there and get it. It's
cool.
We can
walk there.
And he's like, no, let them bring it over. That's what they're paid for. And I was like, okay, but, like, this is really dumb. And then we have to tip more because of that. We could just not tip at all. Because I was poor then. I was very poor. Yeah, but we still did
It's mostly a time thing, right? Like, I could walk to Jimmy John's and back in, like, 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. But if I don't have those 20 minutes, like, I might just get it delivered because...
Maybe you should schedule better, Rebecca.
You know, I should.
Mm-hmm. All right, I guess that's the end of the episode, so Becca can go revise her schedule. Thanks for tuning in.
Oh, man.
I know. So how was your week, though? You asked how mine was, and mine was good. I actually, this week I did... I'm finally getting to do stuff at work that is part of the job that I was hired to do, and that's been super fun. I've done testing for things, and I'm like, wow, I'm contributing.
Nice.
It was.
Love to contribute.
Sometimes.
My week was not great, but it's mostly because, I don't know, I'm PMSing, and I'm just, like, burnt out from work and school. So, everything... Like, I'm very overwhelmed. I was just burnt out this week. Because last week, I was working, like, longer than I should have because I had the energy to. And so I was just, like, capitalizing on that. And then, because I'm bad at focusing. And so if I have a day where I'm doing very well and, like, focusing a lot, I'm just like, well, I'll just keep going. Because, like, I don't know when this is going to happen again. And that was, like, all of last week. And now this week, I couldn't do anything. It's like... Okay, now I need to not do that again.
Yeah, that was a mistake. Whoop.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was fine. I had some good meetings, some good conversations. I had a psychiatrist appointment this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Great stuff.
What'd they say about me?
You did not come up, surprisingly.
Then I guess I don't need to hear the rest of the story.
What? No, it was great. I mean, it was like an online, like, thing. It was like a 20-minute, like, consultation. It was not like a let's figure out, like, a plan. And, like, it was just like, what are you dealing with? Okay, I'll write you a prescription, which kind of was what I wanted. But, you get what you paid for. This was like $100. And if you want to see, like, an actual psychiatrist for, like, a 90-minute session, that's like $400. Mm-hmm. So.
Did you cry instantly, or how long into the session until you cried?
I did not cry.
Oh,
or not.
Then they
it
didn't
was
give
at
you
8
a.m. stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got to turn on the eye faucets to get that.
They cannot prescribe, like, so first of all, he was like, I described my whole, like, life and why I thought I might have ADHD, and he was like, this sounds pretty textbook, but it's way easier to treat ADHD than it is to diagnose it in adults, because, like, the actual diagnosis process is very involved. And he was like, unless you actually need an on paper diagnosis, like, what we'll probably do is just try the treatment and see if it works and then go from there. But stimulants, which are, like, the traditional treatment, like Adderall, Ritalin, etc., although they don't actually prescribe those anymore because of the side effects, now there's, like, one called, like, Concerta, just like the new one. It's like way less of the bad side effects, but they can't prescribe any of those virtually because they're controlled substances. So you have to take like a drug test and everything before you can actually get a prescription for them.
Does it count if like they find weed in your system, or are they just looking for real drugs?
They're just looking for anything that would like mess with the stimulant, right? Mm. They need to make sure that you're not secretly taking anything that could interact with a stimulant and kill you, right? Because that would be bad. But so they
depends
were able to
the
prescribe
person.
They were able to prescribe something different, like Strattera or something, I don't know.
Stratino.
But it's not a stimulant, it's something different. And so that was that. The guy spent like 20 minutes with me. That was what I walked away with. And then I started Googling like reviews of this, and there were, like, a few that were like, this is amazing, this helped me so much. But then I realized that, like, people who actually have a good experience probably aren't going to take the time to, like, go online and leave a review. It's probably just going to be, like, people with a really messed up experience of it. And sure enough, I read through, like, pages of reviews, which all had, like, horrible grammar, tons of, like, yelling. And then there would be, like, a review that was like, this was horrible, it ruined my life, and then, like, a ton of text with horrible grammar and spelling, and then, like, halfway through it would be like, and it really didn't interact well with my schizophrenia medication. And I was like, there it is.
We got there.
Listen, we found it.
They need to share that with people who may also have those conditions, Rebecca.
Oh, absolutely. But I should not have been reading it and being like, oh no, should I be worried?
Chris was really worried about you. Like the follow-up, we never found out if you have ADHD. It's one of those hanging storylines as we move towards the end of the season. So,
okay, well, now we can get an answer, which is probably, but I'm not going to pay $900 to go to a testing center to get a test done. So
why?
Well, I had thought about it.
Is it really $900? Like the insurance doesn't cover that?
It does not, because you don't need a diagnosis.
Here in California, unless the insurance, if I wanted to see a doctor just to tell me that I'm pretty, it's free.
Well, a doctor doesn't do ADHD testing. It's like a testing center.
Any medical professional. It could be the head of surgery. It could be a psychiatrist. It could be anybody.
Well, at this place, they were like, if you want to try to go through your insurance, the wait list is like 8 months. Yikes. If you want to pay out of pocket, we could see you in like 3 weeks. And so I was just like, no, thank you.
Use that bonus money.
I don't, but like, you only need a diagnosis if you're like trying to like get a test waiver or something. Like if you're in school and you need like a, you know, and that's not my issue. It's not taking tests. It's like,
it's everything else.
Yeah. For some reason, I'm very good at taking tests, very bad at all other aspects of life. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That seems accurate. Having known you now for a couple of years, yeah.
It really damned me because it meant I could get into like a good college and then absolutely suffer for four years.
Yeah. Well, I guess we should get to some stories. David prepared us some stories.
Nice.
Nice.
Okay. I see achievement unlocked, kids. David hates kids, so I'm excited for this.
My favorite is when he tells them to their faces, like when you're at a park or something.
Yeah, he goes up to a kid and he's like, you're not special.
I was a kid too, and look at me now. This is your future.
Yeah, think about it. Do you still want to be alive?
Do I look happy? Because I'm not. Wait, are you still glad you're living together?
Yes.
Okay. I said I'm going to check every week. I got to know.
All right.
This is a safe space for you to share if you're not. He doesn't listen to the podcast.
He does.
What?
Okay. Am I the asshole for saying that my kids are not my, quote, greatest accomplishment and that I resent the assumption that they are?
That's big David energy.
Uh-huh. All right. I love my kids, but they are not my everything. I had a whole lifetime before. I ran marathons, climbed mountains, wrote a novel that was published, and... Okay, this guy sounds like a prick. And did moderately successful.
You ever just do moderately successful?
And have an MFA in creative writing.
They have a multi-factor authentication in creative writing.
But they're bad at writing. Okay, chatting with some folks in the neighborhood, we got to talking about our greatest accomplishments. When it came to me, Tom said, oh, we all know what your greatest accomplishment is. Obviously, you have three beautiful, well-behaved children. I was shocked. I said, no, that's not my greatest accomplishment. He looked just as shocked, and I said what my greatest accomplishment is. And then I said, by the way, I resent the assumption that having kids is my greatest accomplishment. You have kids. Why didn't you say that? Oh, this is a woman. Okay.
Yeah, so I was waiting for you to get there.
He didn't birth the kids, and how that's a miracle of life and all the gag me shit. I just rolled my eyes and said, let's not boil women down to their biological functions, okay? Jen, who has kids, chimed in and said, well, my kids are my greatest accomplishment. I can't imagine thinking of anything else.
That's absolutely the voice.
Yeah. It's like Cruella de Vil. Tom looked super smug. Others, including other moms, chimed in. All the moms agreed that their kids were their greatest accomplishment. I kind of stewed about it. After that, the woman who chimed in sent me a message asking if I needed to talk to someone and asked if I was depressed because my statement was worrisome. She ended up reaching out to my husband to encourage me to get help because it seems like I'm unhappy being a mom and that puts my kids at risk.
Hey, you're yelling again?
Am I being an asshole here for thinking being a mom isn't the end-all be-all of my life? Like, what the fuck? No. I probably wouldn't have gone in so hard with the I resent you for saying that approach. That's a little intense, gonna be honest.
Fuck you, I hate my kids. I wrote a book.
Like, I think if she hadn't gone there, or if they hadn't gone there, I guess we don't know that, they said they burned the kids, but if they hadn't gone there, right, like, I don't think anyone would have had an intense reaction. I think there's a way to have this conversation that's not just like, no, I don't fucking care about my kids. Fuck you. Like,
they could have just been
like, they could have just been like, well, no, I love my kids, but actually, like, my greatest accomplishment is that I, you know, ran a marathon or whatever, like, or published a novel, like, you know. But I would say it's weird to consider kids an accomplishment, because it's not, there's no accomplishment when it's having a child, right? You have a child, and then that's a lifelong thing that you work on.
That's handcuffs.
It's not like I had a well-behaved kid, and now they're a well-behaved kid, and then I'm fucking done, right? Like, you have to raise them their whole life. Like, it's a whole life thing, right? Like, so I would have just gone with it with that. Be like, why do you even think that that's an accomplishment? There's no end accomplishment there. It's just, yeah. But I don't, not the asshole, but you probably shouldn't have gone in with the, like, no, and I fucking resent you. Like, because then I can understand the neighbor being like, are you okay?
But the neighbor
overstepping and saying, like, I don't think you're a good mom because you said this is pretty.
Oh, yeah,
pretty,
that's
absurd.
Ridiculous. I think it's fine for that person to be like, my kids are something that I've done, but it's not everything.
An accomplishment.
Because, like, yeah. I've had people be the same way to me about, like, being trans, whether, like, their trans identity is their whole identity. And for me, I'm like, no, that's just part of me. I've done way cooler things and, like, more important things. So sometimes other people will boil down who you are and assume that, like, that's all you are. And I've known people who have kids and that becomes all they are. So I'm not surprised other people feel that way, and we're surprised that she didn't. Because there's edits here, too, including saying, don't read this on your shitty YouTube channel, which sounds like we're in the clear. We have a shitty podcast.
That's different.
She said, my greatest accomplishment is actually climbing Keeley and Denali the same summer I knocked off the final 14ers of the contiguous United States with my now husband. But go off with thinking it's bad to be proud of having an MFA.
So here's what I'm getting. This person's kind of a bitch, but they're not an asshole.
They're not an asshole.
Situation.
Yeah.
But I do like this comment. I want to read this comment because I think it's a little bit more nuanced. So it says, I get a different read from your story than most. They were giving you a compliment. You have three beautiful, well-behaved children. While you may not have had the default answer of your kids being your biggest accomplishment, I think you feel the need to pick a fight because they're assuming that you have the same perspective that they have. I mean, this sounds like a group of people who, to them, their kids are their greatest accomplishment. And so that, I mean, these aren't people who've climbed, whatever, Everest and have an MFA and published a novel, right? So these are people whose kids are their greatest accomplishment. And I think, like, coming in with the attitude of, like, no, why would I be proud of being a mom? That's dumb. Like, that's not cool either. And that's an important thing to note also, because then you have, like you said, there's moms in this group who are like, well, that is the best thing I've ever done. So now I feel silly, right?
Well, so I'm reading at other comments from the poster, and one that's relevant to what you had just said is, she says, I'm not talking about other people, though. I'm talking about me. If other people want to consider their children their greatest accomplishment, that's wonderful. I'm glad they have that accomplishment they want and they hold that so near and dear. But to thrust that on me just because I'm a woman, that's ridiculous. It's sexist. It's demeaning. And it's not something I'm going to just smile and nod about to keep the peace.
I don't know. I get that, but this seems like they feel very defensive about this, and that to me is like, what else is going on? Also, it's just like a social skills thing, right? Like, nobody meant anything by this, and something's deep inside this person's head where they heard that and they had to go off and they got violently angry. We're like, absolutely not. I resent you for saying that, blah, blah, blah. This person sounds insecure, and they're even having to, like, brag about their MFA, like, climbing all these mountains. Like, if you were secure in your accomplishments and your children, you wouldn't even need to come to Reddit and ask this question. So I think that's your answer.
I wonder how the husband took it, too, if he was like, no, it's cool. She can believe her own things. It's fine. She's happy.
Yeah. Well, I'm assuming they have a similar stance on this, which, you know, you can, I think it's fine to believe whatever you want to believe, but, like, I think that's just a situation where I would have heard that and been like, well, I've done a lot of things in my life, but yeah, I'm proud of being their mom, and then, like, move on from there. And you could have even gone in with the quip of, like, well, why didn't you say that? You're a dad. If you really thought it was sexist, that would have been a more productive conversation.
No, she
than, like,
did say
I
that,
resent
though.
You. Well, but then threw it in with a bunch of other, like, angry things. I get being mad in the moment, but this just feels like, I don't know. There's levels to this.
Something is shaking. Like, I hear something that sounds like it's shaking. It's not an earthquake, but...
I'm a big fan of the comment that just says, everyone sucks here. Honestly, you all sound insufferable.
They should take your children away. They can be someone else's accomplishment.
This sounds like the kind of person that David and I are going to meet in our new neighborhood.
That's going to be who you end up as.
If we have children?
Yeah. If you kidnap children from someone else.
And someone's like, you must be so proud of having good kids. And David's going to be like, fuck you, I have a PhD.
I'm a doctor. I cannot
I make
save
my kids call me doctor.
Yeah. They call me Dr. Daddy, just like Becca does.
Oh my God.
It's pretty good.
No, everyone here sounds like a bit of an asshole.
You know who the real asshole is? Is the kids.
They didn't do anything. They were well behaved. That's what got us here in the first mm-hmm. place.
If
they
were
assholes,
shitty, it never
would have
come up.
Yep. Exactly.
What's your greatest accomplishment? Surviving my pieces of shit. What are you reading right now?
Yeah. I'm just reading a comment that says it's a matter of perspective. And that's the thing that you have to consider when you're coming in so confrontational about this, is that that is going to then come off as to the women in the group who are just moms, which there's absolutely nothing wrong with, are then going to take that and think that you think you're better than them.
There's
and
nothing
that's not
wrong
cool
with
either.
It. Why do you have to say there's nothing wrong with it, Becca?
Well, I think sometimes people have a misperception about, like, feminism and women's right. Like, feminism is, like, thinking that women have the right to be whatever kind of woman they want to be. And if that genuinely is, like, you just want to be a mom, then that's great. And then you should do that. But that doesn't give another woman who climbed a bunch of mountains and is also a mom the right to, like, make you feel shitty about it either. So I think there's that level of this as well. And that's important to think about.
Fine.
This is a nuanced one. I liked it.
I'm going to read the next one. David has labeled it as child photos has an update, gets wholesome.
Oh, hell yeah.
That'll be a good one, maybe. Okay. Am I the asshole for telling my daughter it's her fault? Do you think David ever tries to send you messages via these posts where he's like, I think we should have kids? That's the message this week? Or is he trying to say, let's not have kids, they suck?
Let's go climb a bunch of mountains. Yeah. No, I don't think either of those things are true.
He thinks
you
should get your
very,
MFA in creative writing.
We're both very indifferent about the idea of having children, which means no.
Am I the asshole for telling my daughter it's her fault that she has no pictures of herself? Okay, so I, 54 female, have 5 kids, 3 bio, 2 step. The issue is with my eldest, Clem, who is 26F. The only pictures I have of Clem, I assume Clementine... Clemency. The only pictures I have are from the day she was born to around her 8th birthday, but none after that. She would ruin any picture she was in by making funny faces, hiding from the camera, making weird signs with her hands, or by messing with other people. It was like this until she was 12, when she straight up started to refuse. We would tell her to come for the family photo, but she would refuse. We never forced her, but would gently encourage her. She even refused school pictures. No pictures of birthdays, graduation, prom photos, holidays, or days out with her in them. It broke my heart because I don't have any pictures of her growing up. Family photos look odd because she's not in them. She's 26 now and is pregnant with her first child. She brought her SO over for dinner and we were looking at photo albums. We got to hers and she saw hers was nearly empty. She asked where all her pictures were and I told her she refused to have any taken. She got all teary-eyed and told me to stop joking. At this point, I'm very annoyed. I tell her I'm not joking and that she did this to herself. I told her that if she had swallowed her pride and had even one picture, we wouldn't be like this today. She got angry and thought I printed out the ones she had messed up. She got super upset and went to sit in the car. The next day, today, I got a few texts from family members calling me an asshole for putting her on blast and humiliating her. Who is telling moms that they are on blast? I would never tell my mother she's on blast. I would say she's canceled.
No, they're saying the mom put the daughter on blast.
I know, but who is calling her and saying, like, does the mom know what that even means? Yeah.
Probably not.
I want to read the edits, too, because that's more before we get to the update. While I agree it was a shitty move not to include goofy or rude pictures, that's not what Clem has an issue with. She's upset that I have no pictures of her from age 12 to 18 to fill the album with, and the few I do have caused extreme reactions from her. I can't fill an album with pictures I never took. That's what she's upset about, not the omission of goofy, rude pictures. To those of you saying, who cares about rude gestures or goofy faces, I didn't realize this needed saying, but the family pictures weren't just for me. They were for everyone involved. Aunts, uncles, cousins, grandparents on all sides. I can guarantee none of them want an 8-year-old making the eat-out gesture. That's what is meant to be their nice family
photo.
Why
does she know what that gesture is?
Yeah, she's like, we don't need to see you, you know. It's, what was the post to be a friend of the rainbow or something? Like whatever that rainbow flag emoji. It's kind of sad to see so many people assume that because a child has an anxiety that I berate them whenever they mess around when taking a photo. I never yelled at Clem for making silly faces, would simply encourage her to stop and smile, but her rude gestures and faces would ramp up. But I guess that's what you expect on this sub. Everybody hates their kids. I hate their kids too.
Not the asshole. I don't think so. I mean, what are you going to do in that situation?
I don't think, though, blaming a younger teenager, I'm like, that, you know.
No, but I would, like,
I would have kept the photos. I don't delete any pictures.
Yeah, but this was years and years ago.
It
you
was
didn't
8
have...
years ago.
No, she's 26, and they're talking about childhood photos. She doesn't have any child, so this would be somebody
my age.
No,
she was
age.
Saying from 12 to 18. She's upset that I have no pictures of her from 12 to 18, so that's not that long ago. It's 14. Like, there were digital cameras, so in my mind, I never delete anything. I have something like, I don't know, 30,000
Yeah, but
pictures.
If she was always making obscene gestures or like giving the finger or like, you
there's
know,
nothing
doing
obscene about
the eat out
yeah,
gesture
no.
to not have pictures taken. That to me, like if you were a parent, that's your kid communicating like, I absolutely do not want this to happen and I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that it doesn't happen. To me, it's surprising then that the daughter was so surprised that there weren't any pictures, because that's not that long ago. Like you said, she should have remembered not wanting
pictures
taken.
That she hated being
taken.
In pictures, yeah.
Yeah, so like, what are you going to do, right?
I mean, I don't
I
think
can understand
the
mom then being
are
like, you were, a, you didn't want pictures, so what was I supposed to do, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any assholes here. I think it's just kind of a bummer, you know?
Yeah. So here's the update. So it's been less than a week because I wanted to make amends ASAP, so I printed off all the pictures and put them in the album. They didn't fill it, but I made a spread on one of the pages that said, go make new memories with a picture of her and her fiancé. I put a lot of work into making it cute. I called her and asked to talk. She arrived and we had a long discussion. I asked if she had any trauma or self-esteem issues, in a more tactful way, obviously, and she said no. She simply did not like having her photo taken and adopted the behavior of screeching and kicking to avoid photos. She did say she had anxiety and that's why she had panic attacks, but that was mostly because she was gassing herself up, if that makes sense. It does not make sense to me. Mm. I knew she had anxiety, but not that she gassed herself up, if that makes sense. By the way, gassing herself up are her words, not mine. Regarding her visit, the one that kicked things off, she explained that she was embarrassed by her behavior and even more so when it was exposed to her fiancé. She said she didn't quite realize how much time she had lost and that it was very emotional for her. I apologize for my wording during our spat, and we both made up. I even showed her the posts, and we read the comments together. We had quite a laugh at all the armchair psychologists and internet detectives that claim just because she knew a sexual gesture as a child, she was in danger. I really don't think it's a big deal anyway. This is me talking another story, because the Pope has that in like his official pictures, so whatever. Some people were writing borderline fan fiction and rewriting my entire history with my daughter based on one post. That's talent. After a little bit of talking, I brought out the album and gave it to her. She was happy, and she seemed to take responsibility over the fact that she refused to have pics taken. I told her I'd printed out the candid ones from when she was 12 to 18 and asked if she wanted them. She said no. She really liked the page with her and her fiancé, which made me super happy. So that's that. You might find this hard to believe, but other than this incident, which we are working through, we have a very good relationship. And she said she's going to comment, reply to everybody. Yeah, I think it was, you know, kids do stupid shit.
There's no assholes.
Yeah, I think.
There's no assholes.
As long as, I don't know, I felt like it was a little harsh to be like, this is your fault. You did this.
Well, but knowing that it was 12 to 18, I don't think she meant it as like, you did this, but it should have been like, don't you remember that you refused mm-hmm. to have any pic? Like, what was I supposed to do? I like the comment on the first post that was like, info, how is this just now coming up? Are you saying there's family photos hanging in your home that do not include your daughter? Is she really looking at this photo album for the first time at 26 years old?
There are not a lot of pictures of me in my family's homes because... I don't know. I wasn't around for a long time because they didn't want to see me. So,
yeah,
I don't know. Like, I've never looked at any albums they may have. I know I'm in a bunch of them as a kid, but I think probably around middle school, I start not being in stuff when they started going on vacations without me.
Mm.
So it happens.
Rough.
Yeah.
I hated having my picture taken as a kid. Once I got to be a fat kid from like age like 9 to 12, I was very chubby and round. Mm-hmm. And so there's very few pictures of me in that stage.
I wish I saw fewer pictures of you now.
Thanks.
You're not welcome.
All right, should we take a break?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
Cool.
Great.
It's fine.
Should we play our game so you can lose?
Yeah.
Okay, pick a number 1 through 5.
4.
Try to read this one without laughing. Am I the asshole? Penis joke gone too far? Am I the asshole for telling my husband that he looked ugly? Am I the asshole for taking too many mushrooms at a party and telling my boyfriend that I hate his mom? Am I the asshole for telling my boyfriend's kids that I'm Jewish? And am I the asshole for, quote, ruining a family dinner?
I don't... The one that I want to say is the penis joke because it's got bad grammar and I know you love that. I'm going to say the mushrooms.
It was the mushroom!
I did it! I finally did it! I get to be the one to pick the categories next week.
What gave it away? Was it too long?
No. No, I was like, you know, we've been talking about eating mushrooms, wink, allegedly. And, allegedly.
Mushrooms in a duck cell in a beef Wellington, obviously.
Yeah, we're doing a beefy welly, as we call them. And,
with a mushroom duck cell. Mm-hmm. But we're going to make it with psychedelic mushrooms. We're going to do a beef Wellington.
Like, it's going to be very satisfying. And
then we're instantly going to just go off the rails.
Yeah. David doesn't get to have any. No, I don't. That was the main thing. Is I was like, we've been talking about shrooms. So I can't believe I won. I never thought this would
come. I'm happy for you.
I just assumed I would always be wrong.
The am I the asshole penis joke gone too far is real. And I think I have to read it now.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Am I the asshole penis joke gone too far?
Wait, send me the link. Is it in caps like the way you just said it?
No.
Penis joke gone too far?
That would have been great.
Film at 11.
All right. On Friday, I suffered a muscle spasm in my abs, and my girlfriend rubbed the area to try to make it feel better. At the time, we were in front of four of my friends. She asked if that felt good, and I said, I wish you would do that to my penis as a joke.
It was a joke.
My friends and I all laughed, and my girlfriend was upset about the situation, as she asked me not to talk about sexual stuff about us in front of my friends. Am I the asshole?
Yeah, he's the asshole primarily because she's already said she doesn't want to talk about that stuff in front of his friends.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I think that's
also
great.
That's not a joke.
Kind
like,
of.
Like, you picture John Mulaney getting up on stage and just being like, oh, you're clapping, huh? Wish you'd clap my ass cheeks. Like, that's not a joke. What?
Yeah.
That's funnier than what this
guy said.
That's
a John Mulaney joke right there. He's up there talking about his ex-wife, I guess now, right? That was the story we heard?
I don't know.
Do we
know,
get any follow-up on that? I guess no one's clapping those cheeks now, huh? COVID's gone too far.
No, there was a video game streamer. She was doing a stream as a woman. And a guy in the chat said, what color is your thong?
I saw that.
She was like, what color is my thong? Like, what? How do you think that's going to work? Then I'm going to be like, it's blue. Like, what? And then a guy, the same guy follows up and he's like, guess you can't take a joke. And she's like, you didn't get to the joke. We just got to the part where you were being a dick. She's like, could you imagine John Mulaney getting on stage and pointing to a random woman and being like, what color is your thong?
Oh, you know you who I can picture joke. Doing that is, what's the guy's name that did like the, Dane Cook. Dane Cook
Jesus
would
Christ?
Absolutely, yeah. Jesus Christ, Dane he's Cook. On the cross. He's like, hey, baby, what the color of your thong is?
No, Dane Cook would have done that.
Absolutely.
Dane Cook's not funny, though.
He's probably still doing that right now. Like, wherever he is right
he's
now.
He's so gross.
He's asking some woman, what is the color of her underwear?
He's so disgusting.
People used to really like him.
Oh, have you seen the video where Chris D'Elia realizes that Snapchat can be saved?
No.
The whole thing with Chris D'Elia was that he was, like, Snapchatting underage young women, girls, and, like, really inappropriate shit. And, like, he would just find random women on Instagram and then befriend them on Snapchat, knowing that they were, like, teenage girls. And then when he'd be, like, he would save them all under, like, each different city. So when he'd be coming to their city, he would, like, start Snapchatting them, be like, oh, I'm coming to Atlanta this weekend. Like, where are you going to be? And, like, blah, blah, blah. Even though they were, like, 16. And there is an old video. So this all happened between like 2013 and 2016. There's a video of him doing an interview on a radio show in like 2015. And they're talking about like, it's him and like three other comedians and they're talking about, I don't know, nonsense. And they're like, oh, I don't know. This girl's mom saw something that got Snapchatted to her and blah, blah, blah. And they're just like, oh, what's this guy thinking? Blah, blah, blah. And then Chris D'Elia is like sitting there and you can see the wheels turning and he's like, wait, but it's Snapchat. Like, doesn't that just go away? And the other lady just goes, yeah, but you can screenshot it. Like, you can just save it, right? And then he just goes, like, he just does the thonk face. Like,
and then
he's
it
just
plays
sitting there, like,
the theme from Curb Your Enthusiasm at the end.
Yes. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Just like slowly zooms in on his face. You can see him just thinking, like, oh no.
Oh no. No, I didn't see that, but I did see there was like a video of him the other day, and he's like, you know, there are no 14-year-old girls. They immediately look like they're in their 20s. And I was like, that's not helping you right now.
No, that in that video, they really did play the Curb Your Enthusiasm song at the end. Yeah, that I thought you had seen
no,
it.
No,
I
hadn't
that's
seen
it.
I know the yeah. internet. I've been on
at that moment
for
when he like stops talking in the interview and he just like freezes and then the camera just slowly zooms in. It's like
that's pretty good. I like that. I support it. All right, I'll read the next one. Can't believe I won this game.
Should we do one more?
Yeah, I'm going to do this Star Wars-themed wedding one because I think David is trying to send you a message.
Oh, God. All right, this is the last one, and then I got to go make brownies.
Shroom brownies.
No, just
oh, this is brownies. A hypothetical.
Okay.
Would
Did
I
David
be
write
the
this?
Asshole for having a Star Wars themed wedding. My fiance, 26 female, and I, 27 male, recently got engaged on Valentine's Day 2021. We're hoping to get married.
That's not us.
We're hoping to get married in the next 2 years. So much almost every conversation we have at the moment is about wedding planning. Star Wars has been a huge influence in my life ever since I was a kid. I've watched all the movies more times than I could possibly count, and it's something nearly all my family friends enjoy too. So when I was thinking of wedding planning ideas, it seemed obvious that we should be doing something Star Wars related. I've been brainstorming ideas, and I have some really great themed ideas. For example, alcoholic blue milk drinks to serve guests. Hiring stormtroopers to party and dance.
That's fun.
Jedi robes for all my groomsmen.
Nope.
Playing Across the Stars for the first dance. Now, Across the Stars is like the love theme from the prequel, Is that what the...
No, that's Leia's theme. What's Across the Stars?
You don't know it because it's from like Attack of the Clones or something.
It's from Attack of the Clones. It's really good, but it's not a first dance.
A lot of the I don't know,
the music
singles to come out of these soundtracks, like, what's the one, Duel of the Fates, fucking is fantastic.
We played that in orchestra in college. It was so fun. And we had, because I was in charge of that concert, so we had people come in with lightsabers dueling while we played it. So while we played it, we sometimes would do movies with the pieces that would play without, you know, they'd be like silent films that would play along with the song we were playing. And in the film, it was these two guys fighting like all around Ann Arbor with lightsabers. And then at the end, you see them fighting outside of the Michigan Theater.
And they come in.
And then they actually burst through the doors and fought down the aisles with the lightsabers. And everybody lost their minds, especially the kids, because it was like, it was really cool. And then at the end, like as we finished the song, the guy like stabbed him and he died.
Bum, 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 da, dum. I also Duel of the Heroes or whatever. Battle of the Heroes or something. It's in the third one. Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah.
It's good. When they're fighting on Mustafar. I know a lot about Star Wars. I don't even really like Star Wars. So.
Good music in the sequels, too. Very good stuff.
Yeah, it's okay.
We played the score from the full like suite from
Force Awakens.
The Force Awakens, and that's a good score.
I mean, to me, all the Kylo Ren theme stuff is really cool. Sounds the same.
Yeah, no, I don't know. The Force Awakens score is sort of different. Like the Kylo Ren theme is really cool.
I guess like when I listen to E.T. and then Harry Potter and then Star Wars. And then, like, Home Alone, I think he did, too. I'm like, there's so much that sounds the same. But I guess a lot of composers are like that, too. Because I love James Horner, who did, like, Titanic and Star Trek 2 and stuff. But I can hear, or he did not the newest Spider-Man movies, but the middle ones. He did, you can hear instrumentation or the way he builds chords and stuff. It's very similar. So to me, it takes me out of enjoying it. I don't know why.
Oh, well, I mean, that's like any pop artist. Like, a lot of their stuff's going to sound similar. But, like, they also steal from each other, and they also steal from, like, history, right? Like, John Williams stole a lot from Beethoven. Like, and
he
then
he raised him from the dead and was like, write this.
I played a lot of Brahms stuff on piano last year, and there was one part in particular in this Brahms piece I was playing, and I remember I literally wrote, like, in my little sheet music with pencil, it was like, LOL Disney, because there was a part that just sounded like it could have been pulled from any Disney princess movie.
Well.
Anyway,
so they're going to play Across the Stars, which is not the best song from Star Wars, but it's fine. Well, I have more typically nerdy interests. My fiance isn't really interested in most movies or games. She's very much a typical girly girl and the type of person who has been planning her wedding since she was very young. She has some very specific ideas about what our wedding should look like, much more formal and glamorous than I'd imagine, and her vision definitely doesn't include lightsabers. The problem is that my fiancé really doesn't want anything Star Wars related at our wedding at all. All of my suggestions so far have been shot down without further discussion. One solution I suggested was that we could plan half the wedding, like she handles the ceremony and I plan the reception. That way we can both have what we want. However, my fiancé says that plan would make me the asshole because even having a Star Wars theme reception would be an embarrassment in front of everyone we know. From my perspective, this is my wedding too, and I should get to decide at least half of the day. Well, money isn't much of an issue. We share finances, so I'm paying enough to get a say too. Am I the asshole for wanting a Star Wars themed wedding, even though my fiance really doesn't?
Yes. This is not complicated. He's trying to throw himself a prom. It would be one thing if you guys, like, met at a Star Wars screening and fucking both loved Star Wars, but then, like,
Star Wars bachelor party.
That's what I'm saying. Have a Star Wars bachelor party, have, you know, throw a Star Wars Halloween party, whatever you want, but your wedding is about your relationship, and it doesn't sound like your relationship has anything to do with Star Wars.
The two of you are bonded over.
Yeah, if you were both into Star Wars, then that would be fun, but then she probably wouldn't be against it. But just because it's your wedding doesn't mean you get to pick your own theme for prom. Like, that's not what this is.
Well, I think of it how, like, you and David have talked about doing a Debbie Does Dallas theme because you both have, you connected via that movie. And so that makes more sense to me than if David was like, what if we do Debbie Does, you know, Denver?
No. David and I are not getting married. And we're not, if we do, we're not having a theme. The theme will be alcohol. And it's going to be great. like, themed weddings are already tacky, but if that's what you want to do, then that's great. But it has to be something that you both agree on. This is, you want to have a Star Wars party. That's what that is. Go have a Star Wars party. Have a Star Wars fucking bachelor party. Make it the most amazing Star Wars bachelor party. Tell your best man you want a Star Wars bachelor party. You want to have alcoholic blue milk. You want to have a stormtrooper stripper.
Do shots off of Darth Vader's titties.
Yeah, like, and I'm sure you could find Star Wars themed strippers, depending on what city you live nearest to. But this is so immature. This is so immature of, like, how could you even type this out and think that this is still a question? Be like, my fiance doesn't care about Star Wars at all. I want to make our whole wedding surrounded based on Star Wars. Am I the asshole? Obviously. Like, what? You shouldn't be getting married.
I mean, they're probably fine to get married, but, like...
But this is so dumb.
It is dumb.
I hope he reads all of these comments, because everyone is being like, it's not what a wedding is about. He seems to have misconceptions, because he's like, oh, well, she's been planning her wedding since she was a little girl. I've always wanted a Star Wars wedding. Obviously, those two things are the same. It's like, no, yeah. She's probably been planning a nice wedding in her head since she was a little girl. That's not the same as wanting Star Troopers to dance at your wedding. Which, again, if you both loved Star Wars, I would think that would be cool. Like, if you had your blue milk drink and stormtroopers dancing and you and your groomsmen took pictures in Jedi robes. Like, if you were both mega Star Wars nerds, then that would be fun. Whatever. Do whatever you want. But that's not the case.
I think it would be more interesting of a story if he loved Star Wars and she loved Star Trek.
Yeah, and then you could have, like, you could mix them both.
No,
you know?
They could only fight. You know how you're like, oh, that's too much of an age difference. I'd be like, no, they absolutely shouldn't be together.
Star Wars and Star Trek, get out of here.
That's where I draw the line.
Yeah, the best comment that sums this up is, this is not the event to make about Star Wars. Your individual hobbies do not belong here. Find stuff you enjoy together and theme around that. Yeah, the theme of the day should be that you love each other. Like, it shouldn't have anything to do with your favorite hobby. That's your thing. That's not both of your things. So leave it out of it.
I agree. I guess, you know, we can close this one out saying that he is the asshole. What are you reading?
A good comment that says, why not have a Star Wars themed bachelor party?
We already somebody came says up with I was that at solution.
Somebody says, I was at a Star Wars themed wedding and it wasn't as over the top as you're suggesting, but both partners were fans. All they did was play Leia's theme as the bride walked down the aisle and then had the best man and bridesmaid raise lightsabers and salute when the bride and groom exited the church. That was it. What you're suggesting, I'm sorry to say, ooh, this is a British person, is just bloody crass. You want stormtroopers dancing at your wedding reception? You want the groom dressed up as Jedi?
The stormtroopers are the bad guys, by the way.
What? This is a wedding. It is meant to be a celebration of you as a paired couple, not one person's interest. And I'm sorry, but if the wedding is white tie, and then a bunch of cosplayers appear out of nowhere to party, the whole thing is just going to be a huge mess. I get that both people are supposed to have a say in the planning, but it really does seem that you're just viewing the event as a party, not a ceremony. Exactly. Also, not a great foot to start off your marriage on, of like, you get half the day and I get half the day. It's like, that's not how the rest of your life is going to work.
For the half of those days.
She still has to go to the half that you're planning that she hates.
Like, she doesn't have to. That's a choice she could make.
Yeah, dumb.
Do you think they'll invite us?
Oh, I hope so. I saw somebody say, as a bartender, no good can come from a blue milk drink. I disagree. Like, you could do a white Russian and just put blue food coloring in there.
Don't. No.
That'd be good.
No.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we read that.
Me too. I think it brought us closer together.
Cool.
It's fine, I guess.
Well, I'm gonna go make brownies and then probably play Rocket League. So, big night.
I am going to edit this and plan my budget and some other stuff for the week. So,
and then play Rocket League.
No, I think I'm gonna go stay over at Chris's. We're going rollerblading tomorrow. I gotta see. It's gonna, honestly, I'm not gonna be done editing this till like 8:30 or 9, so probably not at this point. We'll see.
And then we'll play Rocket League.
I also want to go to bed really early.
Oh, that's dumb, though.
I love to sleep.
Okay.
All right, well, I guess that's the end of the episode. Just kind of trailed off at the end because Becca's thinking about brownies. It's fine. I guess we don't have to worry about the listeners.
Oh, it's going to snow 3 feet here this weekend. Okay. That was the other thing I needed to say.
That's fine, I guess.
Starting tomorrow at like 2 a.m., it's going to snow nonstop until Monday morning.
Do you have...
The expected accumulation is 2 to 3 feet in Denver.
I wish I had come there this weekend.
It's a lot.
I like snow. I haven't seen snow. If it doesn't snow there when I'm there in May, which I know it won't, then I will have not seen snow for over a year.
Well, I'll send you a lot of videos of all the snow. I'll FaceTime you while Cammy plays.
I was going to say, I want to see Cammy running around in 2 feet of snow.
It's going to be taller than her. She's going to be so funny.
Mine. She's so small.
She's really small.
Do you think she could be smaller, though?
No. Hmm. I think what we'll do tomorrow when it's at like peak snowy and it's like a foot, foot and a half, is we'll take her out. She'll get to run around and play. And then we'll bring her, do a bath, and then... She'll be done. But I don't think we're going to bring her out on Sunday because how does your dog... Okay, here's a question for the listeners. How does your dog go pee outside when the snow outside is taller than them?
You have to dig them a pee spot.
We're going to have to let her outside to pee and there's going to be 3 feet of snow and she's only like 2 feet tall.
Okay, well, dig a little spot. Where's David going to pee? They can use the same spot.
You pee in a spot first to kind of melt it down for her.
Look, I did it for you. Here you go.
It's going to be rough. It's the most snow here since 1885.
Do you think you might die?
No. We bought a lot of groceries the past couple days. So.
What are you making for dinner over the weekend?
I'm going to make a quiche tomorrow. We have a lot of stuff for, like, sandwiches and burgers, pizza.
Nice.
We're pretty stocked. Basic stuff, you know, mac and cheese, SpaghettiOs, some canned vegetables.
I have SpaghettiOs.
I love SpaghettiOs.
Thank you. Everyone, when I say I like SpaghettiOs, they're like, ha, 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 what are you, a child? I hate you.
That seems like something else.
Yeah, that could be.
I don't like the SpaghettiOs with meatballs. Those are weird.
See, I only like the ones with meatballs, even though I know they're not real meatballs.
I like the plain SpaghettiOs. No meat. And it's only like 200 calories a can. It's a great snack.
Well, I mean, yeah, even with the meatballs, I think it's like 450 or something. Sometimes I'll have that and that's my lunch. And I'm like, I feel satisfied by it. Even though it's not many calories, so I appreciate that. That's why I like Subway sometimes, too, is you can get a sub that's, like, a foot long, and it's still only 600 calories if you don't get, you know, pepperoni and shit on it. So it's good. I like a good sandwich.
There are some sandwiches at Jimmy John's that are, like, 1,000 calories.
I know. I used to work there.
Jimmy John's?
Yeah.
I didn't know you worked at a Jimmy John's.
I worked there. I stopped working at Borders in mid 2009 because I hated it at the store I was at. Worked at Jimmy John's for like 3 months and then got hired back at Borders by Esther, who was the one that I used to do the ad sets with on Christmas. Because she was like, I need someone to come here and be a supervisor. And so she was like, I don't care that you quit. I'm hiring you back. And she just told the district manager, no, we're hiring Jessica. Sorry. It was nice. And then they went out of business 2 years later. So.
Nice.
Yeah. I don't think that was my fault, though, if anybody asks.
Well, now I learned something. Didn't know you worked at Jimmy John's.
I
love Jimmy John's.
That is where I first discovered that I liked spicy peppers, because they have those cherry peppers, which are not spicy.
Jimmy peppers.
Whatever they're called. They're cherry peppers. They're not spicy. They're, you know, they've got that bite when you eat
them.
A
little heat?
Yeah. No, they're not spicy. And I don't remember where I was at, but there wasn't a Jimmy John's near me. And so I would get Subway. And I was like, okay, we'll try some jalapenos. And I was like, oh, these are really good. And then I was like, now I eat ghost peppers too. And they were really good.
Something's wrong.
Yeah. Cherry peppers, not even once.
They're a gateway pepper.
You're not wrong. That did take me down a very spicy path. Now spicy I have path. This Scotch bonnet, like Cajun seasoning that I put on my salad.
I want to see you go on Hot Ones just to have the host be like, what's wrong with you? So you're just eating the wings and just be like,
boneless wings.
Be like, these are fine. I don't know.
I mean, I eat the blazing.
Well, I think that's part of
the
danger. That's part of the danger is with traditional wings, you have to pick them up and then you have to like, and then I think that is what would get to me the most from those really hot sauces.
Being on your lips?
Then it's on your lips and on your hands. And that burns.
I would, if they were like, you got to use your hands, you can't use a fork, I'd be like, okay, I don't care.
But with a boneless wing, you can just pop it in your mouth, right? Like,
well, I mean,
I would take
a bite. Or if you want, I'll rub it on my lips.
That hurts.
I'll send you a video of me rubbing spicy wings on my lips.
And then sitting there for 5 minutes with it on your lips and just like tears start streaming. You're like, why am I doing this?
I'm so happy. That would be funny just
to
send you with no other context, like in a week from now, I'm just going to share a video in the group chat and it's me.
There's just snot like running.
Dripping. I'm like, these are good wings.
So happy.
Yeah, maybe, you know, Thursdays is boneless.
Blazing wings.
I always get the blazing. They're not that spicy.
Hmm.
It's worse though when you get them, like I get them delivered or I go pick them up or whatever, so I don't eat them for like 30 minutes. It's better when you go there because then they're more coated in sauce. And those do feel a bit spicier because there's more sauce that lingers. But
see, I would think the longer it has to soak into it, the more it's spicy it's going to get.
It's not spicy.
I like their new cauliflower wings. Those are good.
I'm not going to try those.
Okay.
Great.
Cool.
I hope you die eating them.
Maybe I will.
Okay.
They've got bones in them somehow. I don't know how they did it.
No, why? Is that still vegan? Did the people consent to have their bones put in the cauliflower?
No.
Mm. Where did they get the bones from?
I'm going to go.
Okay.
All right.
Wish you would rub David's dick the way that lady was rubbing that guy's abs.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Please.
No.
For King.
All right. Goodbye, everyone.